right, did you talk to your wife? Did you talk to your family, everybody?
No, I hadn't called anybody other than the IBPO.
Okay. All right, hopefully we'll get this cleared up. Anything you need from me?
Any update on Mr. Brooks?
Well, I ain't checked yet, so.
Okay.
We'll get that squared away, all right?
All right.
But you're good.
Welcome to the Felt Recoil Podcast. This is episode 101. We're glad to have you here. This is your weekly dose of raw opinion, unfiltered reviews, and all the latest news. My name is Chris, and across from me sits...
It's still Patrick.
Patrick, welcome. Glad to have you here, buddy. What a crazy world we're in right now. What a crazy world. Now, a couple of things real fast, by the way, a little behind the scenes, if you will, inside baseball. Last week, I felt like we took almost to a fault. I tried to stay laid back last week about everything going on in the country. Literally leaned back
literally,
in the chair.
Yeah, you were laying on the couch, had your pants unbuttoned. It was a little uncomfortable in here.
Not for me. I felt great.
No, not that kind of discomfort.
Oh, sorry. I didn't want to get lost in any sort of anger and vindictiveness, et cetera. Because here's the thing. We're going to start this week's episode where there's so much to talk about. So much. Rayshard Brooks. Am I saying that right? I don't care.
I'm not sure.
I'll tell you, I'm not going to care too much about this guy. And... I don't want to seem super callous, but we have reached a point of no return. We really have reached a point of no return. Chaz is a thing, although it's not Chaz anymore. It's now Chaz or Chop.
I just saw that, and I don't know what that means.
They have changed it. They're no longer...
They can't stick to anything.
Seattle's Chaz has changed its name to Chop. It's dropped the autonomous part after complaints. The entire goal, by the way, of... Not look, autonomy is
not... I wonder
if
somebody thought it was Andromedas, and so they thought, like, you know, hey, what about us David Bowie fans?
Yeah. They're now the Capitol Hill Organized Protest, not the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. They were worried they could get stormed by the Trump administration. By the way, I don't know how to tell them this. It doesn't matter what you call yourselves. If you act in a way of secession, you will be stormed like they stormed the Confederate States. And as Sherman did, Trump will do and burn you to the ground and reestablish what is rightfully should have been there all along. I digress. Chaz is no more. It's now Chop, which is so cool. Chop House? Chop Zone? Yeah, Chop
Choppity
House.
Chop, chop.
It's got to go Chop House.
Chop Suey.
It's funny how quick it all fell apart, right? Have you seen the video of the guy struggling to maintain control of the dissenter who was a street preacher? So the street preacher breaks in, and he's like, he's got a speaker. And have you seen this? He's blasting the message of Jesus Christ. And he's like, now, don't get me wrong. I believe in the message of Jesus Christ. But the street preacher was one of those who, you know how there's Spanglish? Where people speak a mix of Spanish and English. Well, there's like also...
That's how I talk to my wife.
Maybe what you would call Hinglish.
Just to be annoying.
Yeah. Like you are right now. Hinglish.
On delay with those tortilla chips. Like that.
Great example.
Yeah.
Or the people who are like, I pray in the name of Yahweh Jesus, right? They like throw that in there, you know what I'm saying? So is that Hinglish is what I'm going to go with?
I guess so, yeah.
All right. Bringlish? I think
Hinglish is good.
So, yeah, we'll figure it out.
I can
later.
Follow that one. We'll I don't know where you're going with the other ones.
All right, Hebrew. Anyway, Aramaic, right, is what Jesus spoke. English. Aramaic.
Okay.
English.
I'll give it to you.
Anyway, he's one of those weirdos. And he's out there like, for Yahweh Jesus. And they tackle him. And they're like, dude, you got to get off the street. And he's like, no, I won't get off the street. And so they start trying to wrestle this PA system away from him. And there's one dude wrestling with him. And he's like, can someone help me? Well, the other guy has grabbed the PA system so the crowd can't hear him. And the street preacher is going, it's an autonomous, literally saying, it's an autonomous zone. It's an autonomous zone. And they're like, not like that. And they're all angry at him. It's fantastic. Anyway, that's what's happening in Seattle. No such thing as a coincidence, as we have said many, many, many times before. The Democrats have seized control of certain cities, Atlanta, which we're about to dive into deep, Seattle, et cetera, et cetera. And now chaos has ensued. It's everything they've ever wanted, and it has reared its ugly head. They're getting exactly what they asked for, and boy, is it ugly. It's very, very ugly.
It's not ugly everywhere, though. I just want to make a quick point. Have you seen the videos out of Asheville where they tried to set up their own autonomous zone? And the cops.
No,
just,
but tell me more.
So if you haven't been to Asheville, Asheville is kind of the San Francisco of the East Coast, as they like to say. It's pretty hippy dippy.
Yeah.
All right. So all these hippies got together and they start taking pallets and these crowd control barricades and the plastic jersey barriers and all that kind of stuff. And they're stacking it up in the streets. And they're basically playing copycats with the Seattle guys and trying to set up the same type of deal.
Do it.
And the Asheville police came in there and went, not today.
Right.
And they just started taking all the crap down. So they're like, they're stacking up pallets and stuff, trying to make a wall out of pallets. And the cops just come over there and just take them and start loading them onto trucks and driving off with them.
You know,
that's all you got to do, though. That's all. I'm just making the point.
100%.
They have just let this happen.
You are 100% correct.
From start to finish. Because if you don't know, what actually has happened here is they abandoned the police station mm-hmm. in the center of this autonomous zone or whatever.
Which the mayor told them to do.
Right. And the police chief did not agree,
right.
as I'm understanding. They just packed it up and left. So I was told they took the weapons out. They took any evidence that was there and basically anything of quote unquote value.
Idiots.
And then boarded it up.
Right. Not
and
idiots.
Then put
Sorry.
A, well,
they're,
decision
they're doing
makers
what they were told
idiots.
To do. Right.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They boarded it up and then put, I guess, basically a giant chain link, a really tall chain link fence around it to keep people away from even getting up to where the windows are boarded up and the doors and just bailed.
It's crazy.
I cannot imagine. Like, that's some Banana Republic stuff.
Yeah.
Where in yeah. America does that happen?
Asheville.
Well, besides Asheville.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And I want to just compliment your point, because I had a conversation with my dad, and since he's our only listener, this mm-hmm. will be very repetitious, so sorry about that, listener.
Thanks, Dad.
I was explaining, not explaining, but just saying, you know, he was telling a story, and I can't remember exactly where I was out of, and he said, did you see this video? And I said, no, I haven't seen that. And he said, they attack a police cruiser, and they hit it one time, and as soon as they hit it, like 20 cops hop out.
Miami.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, yeah.
Miami.
And he goes, they just like squash it. He says, it was epic, so good. And he said epic because he hangs out with my kids a lot.
Right.
And he thinks he's seven again.
So it's hot in the streets.
He didn't say epic. He said something else. Anyway.
I hope he starts saying it now just to spite you.
He probably will. So I say, Dad, you know what's funny is that is called the broken window theory. And if you're not familiar, in criminal justice, there is an actual theory of if you allow windows to remain broken, society will break down around the broken window, meaning this, if there's a building and the windows are broken and you don't prosecute those who continue to break windows, people will think it's okay to break windows because the window's already broken. So right. The kid comes up with a rock and he throws a rock and he breaks a window and nobody does anything about it, the kid thinks that's okay to do. Well, the people around him will learn from that example. It's as if you live in a neighborhood with no HOA and someone stops cutting their grass, maintaining their lawn, i.e. me, and then everyone around them says, oh, we can do that too. And I mean, why worry about it? That guy doesn't do it. I don't have to worry about it. It's a natural degradation of society. Jordan Peterson, I was listening to his podcast this week because I'm super smart and that's what we do. And he said there was a philosopher who's...
Is that required for Mensa?
Yes, sir.
Okay, just check.
Not required. It's just kind of like a side effect.
You get extra credit for that?
Yes.
Okay.
But if you're not, and I mean this sincerely, if you're not listening to Jordan Peterson walk his way through the Bible, it's actually really, really good. And he's not a professing believer. It's a very common sense approach to why the Bible is probably right. So anyway, he's walking his way through all this, and he quotes a philosopher who said, if man was given everything he ever wanted, he would burn it down because he'd miss the chaos. essentially. And he goes on to suggest, which I think is true, that...
How apropos.
Right, exactly. We love drama. We love conflict and contention. And in fact, when things are peaceful, we tend to get bored. And when we get bored, we look for something to do. And when we're looking for something to do, hey, what does the Bible say about that? Idle hands are the devil's playground, right? So that is what happens. Bad things tend to happen when we give up on working hard and having end goals, and we're just content and we become bored. So anyway, all that to say,
how bored do you think the people in CHOP? That's CHOP. Weird to say CHOP now. I don't know if I'm adopting that. I might stick with Chaz. How bored do you think the people in Chaz are right now?
Very. I don't know. Here's the thing. They're doing what so many other people do, and they've created their own reality, and that is the reality in which they now live, and they probably think that they're proving some major point. They don't believe that the rest of the country is laughing at them, which is what we're really doing.
Did you see the Tucker Carlson Fox News deal where he had, I guess it was a local reporter, and he's standing just outside of one of their little checkpoints, and on the screen in the top left it says, you know, it's basically showing where he's reporting from, and it says US/Chaz
yes,
border.
Yes, 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 yes.
All
so
big
funny.
Tongue in cheek.
So
just,
funny.
Just razzing those guys.
Yep.
See what I did there? Because that's their leader's name.
Razz.
But just giving them a hard time. Right. Well, they can't seem to have any real semblance of structure. I don't know if these guys heard. That's what anarchy is.
What?
So that might have something to do with the fact that they can't seem to, you know, get on the same page.
No.
But the infighting, I think, will be their demise. And you know, Trump put out a tweet the other day saying he was going to send the army in and basically shut it down and rout all these guys out. Two quick points. One, that would be a terrible idea because that's just the media will latch onto that and they're going to say, well, he's, you know,
he's the totalitarian we always thought he
right.
was.
This is the actions of a dictator, right?
Hey, maybe he could just say, I'm going to do what Che did. And then he goes in and he only kills the minorities and the gays.
Oh. Don't forget the news reporters.
Because leftists love those guys.
But that would be inevitable, right? If he sends in the army, there's no positive outcome. Even if it was completely peaceful and all those guys just ran out the back door and the army rolled through there and then we cleaned it all up and all the graffiti was gone and their barricades were gone. Let's just say that's what happens. CNN and all those other guys will find a way to spin it and tell you Trump is a dictator. He is Hitler 2.0, right?
Right.
So my point is we just let it happen. Let them stay there as long as they want.
Yeah.
But a couple things need to happen. If you're gonna let them stay there, they're no longer U.S. citizens. So one of the things that they did, I think either yesterday or today, was said that one of their demands is that all illegal immigrants in the U.S. need to be legalized.
Right.
Which I find striking because these are a bunch of guys who don't want to be U.S. citizens.
And all you got to do is open your arms, man.
Right.
Just let them in.
Yeah, let them in there. You know what? 15 million. you got six blocks. Yeah. I think it's going to be fine.
Not a problem.
No big deal.
Los Angeles just moves a little north.
Yeah, perfect. Exactly.
What's the big deal?
I say there's no good outcome by involving yourself in it. Listen, Don, if I can have a word with you, just stay out of there. Just leave it alone. Just let them do it to themselves. All right, buddy?
Mm-hmm.
Also, do something about that hair while you're at it.
Do you know, my five-year-old has refused to cut his hair for like a year now, right? You know this. And the reasoning,
I can appreciate it.
I recently found out, not really a year. I say it's been a while since he's had a haircut, but he said recently that several months ago, he told us, I feel like I look like Luke Skywalker,
mm-hmm.
and I love it. And so that's actually, you know, it's one of those things to his parents.
I think he's got that vibe going, though. He's kind of right.
I say, hey, wife, I mean, at what point do we intervene here, you know? And she said, hey, he's only going to be 5 once. Just let it. Just let him grow it. And I thought, that's true. Just let him grow it. And so then he told us recently that he's got to get to Thor status before he's going to cut it. So he's been seeing these Thor movies, right? And now he wants, like, nice. Down to his shoulders. And I say that to say that the other night he had bath time and mom combed his hair and all that. And she combed it backwards, and it just was in a certain way. On my life, I kid you not, on his own, he looked across at me and my wife, and he goes, do you see my hair? And we said, yes. Because all right, important context. He goes and looks in the mirror at it, mm-hmm. loves his hair. He comes in, and he looks at us, and he goes, do you see my hair? I said, mm-hmm. He goes, I have Donald Trump hair. I kid you not. It was the funniest thing. If we had cameras rolling, we'd be millionaires.
I can relate to him.
And it was so good, but it looked like it, which was funny. He just had really long comb over.
So your son's not cutting his hair because he wants to look like Luke Skywalker. Right. I couldn't cut my hair because our governor's a moron.
Yeah.
So yeah. I've since remedied that.
I avoid goodness. Cutting mine now. Because I have what's called male pattern baldness. It's tough.
I wasn't going to bring it up.
All right. We are 17 minutes in. We haven't even started. Good for us. Let's revisit the audio from...
Maybe you haven't.
Let's revisit. You started before you got here. Let's revisit the audio from the top real fast.
All right. That's my biggest concern.
Yeah, we're good.
All right, dude. You talk to your wife? You talk to your family, everybody?
No, I hadn't called anybody other than the IPPO.
Okay. All right, hopefully we'll get this cleared up. Anything you need from me?
Any update on Mr. Brooks?
Well, I ain't checked yet, so.
Okay.
We'll get that squared away, all right?
All right.
But you're good.
Okay. Yeah, recognize what you're hearing there? Probably not, because it's not on the news. Interesting. That is the officer involved in the shooting of Mr. Brooks. I hate to even say his name. You know why? Because I'm really irritated by the entire incident. Not for the police officers and what they did, but for what this guy did. What is his name? Rayshard? Brooks. Rayshard. All right, sorry. Okay, here you go. So here's what happens. Rayshard Brooks, 27 years old. He looks 40, if you see the video, by the way. It's because he's lived a hard life. And
I was about to say the exact same thing.
Rayshard gets so drunk, legal limit, 0.08. The dude blows a what? A one
point
something. 0.108. Okay. Not being facetious here. I'm terrible with fractions and decimals and mathematics on that end.
That's more.
But that's like, that's nearly twice the legal limit, right?
Yes.
So here's a man who's had twice the legal limit. He tells police officers he's had a drink and a half of quote-unquote top-shelf drinks.
Well, he doesn't remember what they are.
Doesn't remember them. It's his daughter's birthday, which God bless her. Like, seriously. This is the problem. See, we've had this conversation in America over the last couple weeks about race relations. It's not a race problem. This is a cultural issue we're facing. That is not an original thought, by the way. That's a Bill O'Reilly talking point that he was talking about 20 years ago when I was a teenager watching him on Fox News.
That's right. We'll do it live.
And we'll do it live, like we do this podcast every week. New episodes every Tuesday, wherever you like to get your podcasts. And it's a cultural difference, because here's the thing. As a white guy, nearly 40 years old, when I have interactions with the police, which, by the way, I've had plenty of interactions with the police, and I know that they're the authority. And the right thing for me to do is to shut up and listen. And so when I've had my interactions with police, I say, hey, here's the deal. Now, there are also black people in America who feel the same way, right? It's not, as a white man, I don't have a monopoly on that approach to dealing with police. Law-abiding black Americans feel the exact same way, and they do the exact same thing. But there are people in the world, like 27-year-old Rayshard Brooks, who believe that the right reaction to any interaction with the police is violence, which is what he did. He became, I'm so sick, he became violent. I'm sick and tired of places calling this an incident in the parking lot of a Wendy's. This was a fight for life between two police officers and a really, really intoxicated man who decided he wasn't going back to prison. Back to prison. Mr. Hulon, do you have Rayshard Brooks's rap sheet pulled up in front of you?
Well, I'm so happy you asked. It just so turns out that I do. So, and before I even get into this, I want to talk for a second, because when George Floyd was killed, his rap sheet came out, and the argument became, well, that's not important.
Nobody cared.
That's not important.
Yep.
It doesn't matter. It's not about what he did. This shouldn't happen to him. And I do agree, he should be alive.
Yes,
all right?
He should.
I want to be very clear. He should be alive. But
here's a guy, George Floyd is a guy who was in the middle of committing a federal crime, who had the police called on him by a minority member of the community, by the way. George Floyd was high on fentanyl and methamphetamine when the police arrived. So high that the person that called 911 said he's out of his mind. He is out of his mind. And by the way, the owner of the shop where the employee called 911 openly admits that they don't call 911 on black people in their community because it always gets out of hand. Now, you can blame whomever you want to blame for that. But the fact of the matter is that proves 2 points. Maybe number one, maybe it proves that the police in Minneapolis are a little out of control. But it also proves that there's a crazy amount of black people committing crime in Minneapolis because they know the rule of thumb is don't call the 911 operator right when these are the people committing the crimes. So there's a fine line to be walked there. But all of that is to say, I agree. Here's a guy committing a federal crime, high on several intoxicants, who should still be alive because there's no reason. Now, by the way, he might have died no matter what because he died from heart failure due to complications of the stress of the arrest and being
and
high
also,
on fentanyl
and
methamphetamine.
And he also had COVID-19, apparently.
Supposedly,
allegedly.
Right? Allegedly. So he probably would have died later that night anyway, regardless. But the point is, he shouldn't have had a knee on his neck for 9 minutes.
Correct.
Absolutely unacceptable. Okay.
Now, I'm saying all that just to point out, the media at large would have you believe history is not important. I think not only are they doing that to America by promoting the removal of statues and pretending that Democrats aren't what Democrats are. But
correct.
Oh. But they don't want you to dig into these guys' background. They don't want to see that there's a history of violence or whatever, or that they've been to prison for whatever reason. So I'm going to read you off a list of charges and sentences that he was given for those charges.
Can I add one thing?
Sure.
On the removal of the statues.
Of course.
What I believe they're actually trying to do is to erase any memory that it's been overcome. Because
if the
Confederacy never happened, the Confederacy was never defeated. And so now they have a legitimate gripe again. All right.
Perpetuate the cycle, right?
Exactly.
All right, so Rayshard's rap sheet here.
At 27.
27 years of age.
Think about what you were doing then, if you're old enough.
First one, simple battery, 12 months.
Mm.
Second one, cruelty to children, 12 months.
Why not? Throw it in there.
False imprisonment, 7 years.
That happens.
Family violence battery, 12 months. Theft by receiving stolen property, 7 years. Criminal interference with government property, 5 years. Obstruction of a law enforcement officer, 12 years.
How is this guy out and about?
That is, if you do the math,
that's
22 years.
Yeah, all right.
22 years worth of sentences, and this guy's 27 years old.
He had a rough fifth birthday.
Yeah, I guess so. That's actually, I legitimately have stopped reading. This actually goes on. I gave you about a third of it.
I don't understand how we don't learn our lesson. I really don't. Now,
what does this point to, though?
Uh-huh.
In my opinion, this is a failure by the justice system.
All of it.
Right?
Yeah.
This is not a failure on the police on the people that are executing the law. This is a slap in the face to the American people by the judiciary, who are letting all of these people. I mean, hey, you get a 7-year sentence for false imprisonment, kidnapping, child abuse, receiving stolen goods. You know what? I tell you what. You just tell them you did it. We'll plea it down to 2 months. How's that sound?
Maybe it was the child that was stolen, and he received it and kidnapped it, and so it was just
you get like a bundle deal. You get a bundle? Okay,
yeah, for sure.
It's like car insurance.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. The reason, I think we're going to have to stop again. Did we make our point? All right, let's hear the audio one more time. Because here's what's important about the audio. Everybody wants you to believe that you have these two callous police officers who find a guy at Wendy's, get into a confrontation, and then shoot him.
I think you mean to say had an incident.
An incident. And they want you to believe that the cops were just these callous and careless individuals. Here we go again. Listen.
All right, that's my biggest concern.
Yeah, we're good.
All right, did you talk to your wife? Did you talk to your family, everybody?
No, I hadn't called anybody other than the IPPO.
Okay. All right, hopefully we'll get this cleared up. Anything you need from me?
Any update on Mr. Brooks?
No, I ain't checked yet, so.
Okay.
We'll get that squared away, all right?
All right.
But you're good.
Baseball game. All right.
There it is. I mean, it's kind of plain as day to me that the police officer here, he's asked by a superior officer, have you called your wife? Have you called your family? And his first concern is the man he had to shoot. Speaks volumes about the character of that officer. Volumes. Because here's the thing. It's not like cops want to shoot people. Because shooting someone, and I've never done that, and I hope to never have to do that, shooting someone changes you as a person. Okay? There's an entire book on it called On Killing. Correct? Is that right? Lex Grossman's book is On Killing. And the people I know that have been at war, that have killed people, highly recommend that book because of its targeted approach, pardon the pun, on the mental shift that happens when you have to kill someone else, even in the most moral sense, even when you're defending your own life, your family's life, the life of the vulnerable people in your community, even when that happens, you change as an individual. So police officers don't want to shoot people. Now, if you're unfamiliar with what happened at the Wendy's parking lot, let's walk through it step by step, which is kind of what we were on the path of doing there. Rayshard Brooks, as you just heard, lengthy rap sheet, many, many run-ins with the law. He's passed out in the drive-thru, literally behind the wheel asleep. Now,
those are the best of us.
It does. You've had too many to drink. You got the munchies. You go over to the drive-thru, and you pass out.
You just want a vanilla milkshake.
It happens. But these cops are so lenient with him. They are looking for reasons not to have an altercation. The entire tape, by the way, is 41 minutes long. The entire back and forth between the officers and Mr. Brooks is 41 minutes long. And I want to make this distinction real quick before we get deep into it, because we got onto George Floyd for a minute. George Floyd did not need to die. I am of the belief there was no other option for Mr. Brooks. Not in that moment, not at the time. No other option, because here's what happens. It is, what would you say, Patrick, 20 minutes of them talking him down? Like, just talking about, hey, man, you're drunk. Like, what are you doing? You're drunk. What are you doing? And
obviously very drunk because he's not sobering up in this length of time.
And he's slurring everything. And he's saying, oh, I'm here to see my baby mama. It's my baby's birthday. I was here to visit my mom's grave. And even when he tells the officer that, the officer says, oh, I'm so sorry. How long has your mom been gone? And he goes, oh, like 18 months. And the officer says, oh, I'm so sorry, man. So sorry. So the officer is looking for a path to empathy. He's looking for a way to connect with Mr. Brooks and to say to him, I'm a person, you're a person. Let's work this out. So then they have him do a field sobriety test, and he fails. And they ask him, will you do a breathalyzer test? And at first, he's hesitant. And he says, I don't really know what I want to do that, but I'm not going to say no. I'm not going to say no. And the officer says to him, okay, look, it's yes or no. And I'm not going to tell you either way that you have to or you don't. But if you will, we can do a breathalyzer and see if you're okay to drive. And he says, okay, I'll do one, man. I'll do one. And then he
But the reason for that, I'm assuming, and I don't know what Georgia state law is, but I know in South Carolina, if you refuse a breathalyzer, doesn't matter, pass, fail, or whatever, mm-hmm. you lose your driver's license for a year just for refusing a breathalyzer.
Mm.
So that may be why he says he acts like he doesn't want to, but then he goes, well, I'm not going to say no.
Interesting.
So something to keep in mind.
I'm willing to challenge that. They don't have a right to make me take a breathalyzer and then suspend my license. I hate the states. I hate the government.
Who are you going to challenge? The guy that wouldn't let you get a haircut? All right. Moving on.
Cut my own hair. All right. Where was I before you so rudely took me off course? Probably making some incredibly
deep
point. So he blows is it still 0.1, right? So it's like
0.108.
0.108. So he's over twice what he was legally allowed to be. And they go, hey, man, you've had too much to drink to be driving. And so if you'll put your hands behind your back. As they try to handcuff him, and this is where he could have lived. He could, listen, let me tell you how DUI works. Because no, I don't. But essentially, when you get a DUI, they lock you up until you sober up. You go before a judge. You give your plea and you go home, right? Not that difficult. Not that. Now, it's life-changing, right? I had a roommate get a DUI one time. The guy had to pay like $350 a month because you have to have special insurance at that point, right?
SR-22.
Thank you, SR-22. Isn't that... What's the other AR-10 platform? No?
Where are you going with this?
It's just very familiar. SR-22. There's the...
SR-71 Blackbird?
There's a DPMS platform. And then there's the
SR-25.
There you go. All right, thanks. That's close. All right, anyway. You don't care. No one cares. All right.
I moved on.
You get that SR-22 insurance.
I moved on way long time ago.
It's like $350 a month, and it
will cost you about $10,000 in lawyer's fees.
It could ruin you. So I get not wanting the DUI.
But would you rather be ruined financially,
right,
or dead? I'll give you a minute and let you think about it.
Do I have kids in the situation?
Yes, and a baby mama.
Dead.
Oh, man, this just took a turn for the worst.
Because if you get ruined financially, they're just going to stand around and judge you all day. Dad!
Some might argue you're going to be ruined financially anyway.
Dad, get a job! All right, so Rayshard, he blows just over double the legal limit. And here's where it goes south. He starts fighting with the cops. The cops say, hey, you're going to get tased. And he's able to get control over one of the officer's tasers. Now, why is he able to get control of the officer's taser? Because they don't want to punch him in the face. Because if it's a real street fight with real rules, right, you drop some bows on this dude's nose.
I think you mean with no rules.
You're right, yeah. No rules, street fight style. We go true Krav Maga here. You drop an elbow right on the bridge of that dude's nose, you knock him out. Boom, it's over. But because they're police officers... And because he's a black man,
you have to fight fair.
They have to be so gentle with this guy. Like, whoa, put the kid gloves on. We can't be manhandling this guy because we're cops and we're under the microscope. Now, let me just pause for a quick second, interject, by the way. If you feel scared at the mention of police officers, just know that statistically, you're going to be just fine. You're going to be just fine. Even if you have an interaction with police officers.
That's not what the media is telling me, buddy.
Regardless of your race, Patrick.
That's not what they're saying.
You're
going to
be okay. No, I promise. You'll be fine. Mm-mm, check mm-mm. this out. In 2019,
Don
Patrick,
Lemon said that cops are bad and I should be afraid. So I don't believe anything you say.
Well, let me tell you what I think of when I think of Don Lemon. Pierced nipples. Pierced nipples.
That is gross.
Do you remember why I think of that?
I do.
Okay, because the man got drunk on television on a New Year's Eve broadcast and started talking about his pierced nipples.
Sometimes.
So there's that.
Happy New Year.
Which I found out the other day my 7-year-old calls jackpots. I don't know why.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either. He's like, those are your jackpots.
All right.
Which is awesome. All right. In 2019, not according to Don Lemon, but according to facts, they were 10 million. I know you think I made that up. It's actually a very true story. He said, those are jackpots.
All right.
All right. In In 2019, there were 10 million arrests in America, and 1,004 times those arrests were fatal. Now, I'm not good at math, as I mentioned earlier, but that's like a very, very low fraction of a percentile there. 1,004 out of 10 million were fatal. 41 of those people were unarmed. So now we're down to 41 out of 10 million. 19 of those people were white. Okay. So now we're at a really small number, 19 out of 10 million. Mm-hmm. 9 out of 10 million of people fatally shot and unarmed at the time they were shot were black in 2019. 9 of 10 million. Now, you might be thinking, whoa, that's a crazy number, Chris. It's a crazy number. Remember, it's 9 out of 10 million. Black people make up 13% of the population in the United States, okay? And that is about one-third of the fatal interactions with unarmed people. Why is that? Man, that doesn't seem right. That's targeting. Why are they one-third when they're only 13% of the population? I understand what you're saying. Listen to me. Listen to me. 89 police were killed last year in the line of duty. 27 people killed last week in Chicago, right? 89 police officers killed in the line of duty last year. Do you know the percentage of homicides against police that came from black people?
No, I don't know.
It's over half. So you're 13% of the population, right? But you're committing half of the homicides against police officers. Those are real facts. Those are real facts that you can't argue with. The Bureau of Justice Statistics has a 2018 survey of criminal victimization. According to that study, 593,598 incidents of interracial violence in 2018, right? So let's just call it 600,000. We'll round up to be nice. All right. Now, this excludes homicide, but this is between blacks and whites in the year 2018. So let's talk about white-on-black attacks and black-on-white attacks. These are felony acts of violence. Blacks committed 537 and 204 of those interracial felonies. That's 90%. And whites committed 56,394 of them. That's less than 10%. So 90% of the time, if there's an interracial felony being committed, it's a black person against a white person. A black person attacking or victimizing a white person. Whereas less than 10% of the time, it's a white person victimizing a black person. Now, I'm having trouble. Now, listen, here's another thing. I'm not going to tell you that black people are criminals, by and large, right? Like, I'm not here to tell you that this represents anything other than the true statistics of what's happening in America today. My problem becomes when there's any sort of concerted effort to pretend like there's a targeting of the black community by the police department. I give you those stats to say that we know disproportionately black people commit crimes against police officers. And so now you have a scenario where there's two police officers dealing with a black man in the parking lot of a Wendy's in Atlanta, Georgia. He's blown more than twice the legal limit. He has somehow taken control of an officer's taser, and he uses it against the officer.
To be fair, before he gets the taser, he basically manhandles both of these guys. So there's two officers.
Yeah.
This is not a one-on-one scenario.
But because they're forced to not use disproportionate force.
Right.
Because they're police officers. Yes, he was able to get the better of them. Because they can't throw blows, man.
Basically throws one of them to the ground. The other one is, I guess you would say, basically over his back.
Yeah.
With his arms around his neck.
Yeah.
But doing no good whatsoever. And so at that point, the taser comes loose, and then he takes off running.
Yeah.
And then if you watch the video, at that point, you get another view, which I'm assuming is a camera from Wendy's, because it's obviously not on a police car or on a body-worn camera, where you see him running, and after, I don't know, two car lengths of the drive-thru, he turns back around as he's running and aims the taser at the cop that's chasing him. So that's at the point where the shots were actually fired.
Yeah, because he deployed the taser. He shoots that cop with the taser.
Right.
And then, I mean, what's next? What's next? If he's willing to shoot him with a taser, you can only, I mean, you have to be allowed to assume he's using force against a police officer. His next move is to get the gun. He's got the taser. Now he's going to go for the gun. He's going to want lethal force against the other police officer. So, yes.
All bets are off. He's going to do whatever it takes to not go to jail.
Why should they have to even worry about it? Yeah.
You're already fighting with the cops, number one.
Yep.
I'll tell you this. In dealing with people where I work who are shoplifters primarily, one of the things that comes up a lot is repeat offenders. And one of the things that I've noticed over the years is there's two types of people that we stop. People who have never really done it before and maybe made a bad choice and regret it immediately and are very remorseful. And that's kind of where it ends. And then the other kind is the guys who just don't care. They've been to jail. Jail does not faze them.
Yeah.
Jail is nothing. Jail is just another day. And so if you're looking at a guy like this who already has 20-plus years that he's been sentenced on multiple occasions, I think 20-plus offenses where he's been to jail, you're looking at a guy who goes, you know what, I don't want to go to jail today, so I'm going to fight these guys. I'm a little drunk, and I'm just going to do whatever it takes to not make that happen.
And it's crazy because he's on – all right, so he's a majority of what they're dealing with all the time, right? He's a criminal, and this is what they're dealing with. I don't mean that by race. I mean it by, here's a drunk guy. He's causing them problems. And that's what police are constantly responding to, are people causing problems.
Funny that people don't recognize that police deal with criminals as a habit.
All the time. But all the time.
But the media would want you to believe that it's, you know, they're just out there looking for problems. No.
The way I understand it,
to prevent crime, to stop crime.
They're just out there lubing up their guns, getting ready to mow some people down.
I wonder who I'm going to get to shoot today.
By the way, a police officer, 18 and a half times more likely to be killed by a black male than an unarmed black male is to be killed by a police officer. 18 and a half times more likely.
So the question becomes, if you're a police officer, are you silly for dismissing that?
No, your guard is up.
Right. You're gonna consider that.
Yes. Yes, that's not the odds. You play the odds.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It is nothing more than simple statistics.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't, I don't like someone because of the way they look. This is just the way the world is.
And it's the stats, man. And it's the truth. And I know that makes some people uncomfortable, but the fact of the matter is, it's not that police are thinking, when I see a black man, my guard is up further. It's more like, man, I have to be on guard at all times. But in certain scenarios, I have to be more on guard. I have to be more on guard. And clean up your house. Like, if you're worried about that and the stats bother you, get out there and clean it up. Go out there and make a difference and say, you know what? Enough's enough. And by the way, for the record, there are plenty of black people trying to do that right now. And those are the people that should be celebrated, not the Rayshard Brookses of the world. A guy who gets just blindingly drunk, passes out in a drive-thru, and then fights two cops, steals a taser, and tries to take one down. That's not the guy to celebrate. George Floyd, I'm on the fence. I don't think we celebrate the guy, but he shouldn't be dead. He shouldn't be dead. He was committing a federal offense while he was high, but he shouldn't be dead.
I pointed this out to you beforehand, before we started recording tonight. So there's a lot of George Floyd memorials out there. There's a lot of murals, and I can understand why there might be.
Right.
This guy, I found a picture online of someone made a painting or a mural of him, and in... this is so ridiculous. In the painting, they actually depict him, what I can only assume is, he's passed out in his car in the drive-thru at Wendy's, which to me is...
that's so stupid.
I don't know how that's not hilarious.
It is. It's so sad.
It's almost like they're lampooning the guy, though. Yeah. It's not...
No.
How is that...
I'll tell you what it proves. proves the racism of a culture. Like we talked about at the top, there's a cultural difference here. There is a culture in society who believes that if you look like them, you behave a certain way, right?
Sure.
That's what Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer believe of black people.
Well, that's why they all posed with their kente scarves last week, right? That's
exactly right. It's exactly right. They believe that all black people think alike because they look alike. There's a segment of the black population, like Al Sharpton, who believes that's true as well, that all black people would bow before him because he's Al Sharpton, right? And he's the Lord and Savior of the black community. There are as many racist black people in America as there are racist white people in America. It's just the way it works.
Al Sharpton, a noted anti-Semite.
Very racist man. Absolutely right. He does not like Jews. He does not like black people who don't agree with him politically. He's a very, very racist, violent, vitriolic man. But my point is, if you look at the people taking to the streets of Atlanta, those are the racist segment of that population because they believe there's no way Mr. Brooks could be guilty because he looks like them and they don't commit crimes in their own opinion. It is a very, very racist mindset. There are people, and it's constant, you know, the media doesn't ever want to take a stance where they seem... What's the word? What's the way of saying? They don't want to seem like they don't have heart, like they don't care. And not
be empathetic.
Yeah, but yeah, they want to be empathetic. Yeah, that's a good way to say it. Not insincere. They just want to be. The media is like the principal, right? Like they don't understand that nobody likes them, but they still want to be everybody's friend, right? We've talked about it before in other contexts. Yeah. But that's who they are. They're the principal of the school, and they're idiots, and they're liars, constant liars. I remember a guy named Trey Pennington in Greenville, South Carolina, and he had a very sordid personal history, of which I knew very well. I was 1 degree removed from this gentleman and his very, very sordid life on earth. He had a lot of problems. He was tied into the business community in downtown Greenville. He showed up. He was divorced from his wife. He was, as far as I know, a serial cheater. And I say that knowing firsthand, I'm not going to get too detailed here. It doesn't matter. Trey was a cheater. We knew that. His wife had left him with the family, and Trey showed up at their church 1 week. There was a restraining order already on him from the church. I want you to think about where you are in life when the church has a restraining order against you. Trey shows up at the church. He tries to come in the front door. In fact, he comes in the front door, and he walks down the center aisle of the church. He leaves. They lock the door behind him. He goes to his car and gets a shotgun, and he comes back to the front door of the church. They send the women and the children away, and they get ready for whatever's about to happen. When he realizes he can't get back into the church, and the church is called 911, and the police arrive, he's surrounded by police officers who try to talk him into putting the gun down, and instead he turned it on himself, shot himself, and died under a tree out front of the church. WYFF News in Greenville, South Carolina, where we live, did a glowing eulogy. Nigel Roberts got on the air, and I listened to him do it. Glowing eulogy for the impact Trey made on his community. Now, Trey was a middle-aged white man, just so you know I'm not being super racist here. He's a middle-aged white man. I went on Trey's Twitter account because it was all so suspicious, and Trey considered himself a friend of Michael Cogdill, who is a news anchor still, I believe, on that station. And I tagged Michael Cogdill in a Facebook post and said, I guess when you try and kill your family, but you're friends with the news anchor, they'll give you a rosy eulogy on your way out. And he messaged me and said, hey, I don't know what this is all about, but I didn't know him, yada, yada. And I said, bro, I got screenshots to prove he thinks otherwise. And not to drag it out too much, the whole point is, I said, Michael, I'm going to choose to believe you, that you're being honest, that you didn't really know him personally, and that's not why this happened, and I'll delete it all. I'll let it go, but the blog post will stand. I had a blog I was doing at the time. I said, that's going to stand because that's all fact. This is me putting puzzle pieces together. I need to understand, because here's the point. Nigel Robertson said, well, we don't normally cover suicides, but we felt like this was important because of the impact he had on the community. And they glossed over the fact that this dude tried to get into the church with a shotgun. In my opinion, he was there to kill his family. He was there to exact vengeance.
Why not?
It was about to be a mass shooting. I happen to know that certain members of his family disagree with that. The church is where I got my account, because I emailed the church and said, what exactly happened? I'd really like to know so I can write this story about it. And they sent me their account, their official account, which was, he came in, he left, he got a shotgun, he tried to get back in. You draw your conclusions from that. Here's the whole reason I'm sharing that with you. If you expect me to believe for a minute, that the media establishment that'll protect a guy like that won't stand up and whitewash everything they can for these criminals on the street so they can abolish the police department and start to put in order their far left agenda like we're seeing in Seattle, you are out of your mind. You're out of your mind. They're all in it together. They don't care about the truth. They care about control. They want to control you. They want their end goal agenda implemented as quickly and as seamlessly as possible. And think real hard about it for just a quick second, and it'll make perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. The media has told you Donald Trump is a racist, that he's implementing racist policies. There's no proof for that. There's just not proof that Donald Trump is a racist, all right? The guy said some off-color things about illegals coming through the southern border and who they are. But he's not entirely wrong, right? The people, listen, if you come into this country illegally, here's one thing you've definitely done. You've definitely aided and abetted in child trafficking and the rape of women. Those things are absolutely true. Well, he only came here to make a better life for himself, but who did he pay to walk him across the desert? We've talked about it before, right? You've aided and abetted that kind of behavior. So you're part of the problem by being here illegally. You are part of the problem, de facto. Sorry, beginning and ending, all right? Even if you're the dog whisperer guy who came here illegally and made a great TV show, you're still part of the problem. Sorry, Caesar. You seem like a nice dude. You're part of the problem.
Wait, he's illegal?
Yeah.
You're breaking my heart.
Yeah. Sorry. Point being, there's a...
I'm never going to get my schnauzer to act right now.
There's an active effort. Sorry. I think that's how it works.
I think that's what he does in the outtakes.
When the...
Smacks him around.
Stops working. Yeah, kick it. There's an active effort from the media. And I told you the whole Trey Pennington thing, because that's a very small, that's a local thing, right? Like, that's not national news. Nobody knows what that is. Nobody should know what that is. It's a very small, this happened microcosmically in Greenville, and I remember getting flack from people around me. Why write such a thing about a guy? Who cares? You know, blah, blah. But the point was, to me...
Obviously, those people didn't know you.
It's a dishonest media, right? Yeah, and they're living according to their agenda, and somebody's got to hold them accountable. And we have to be willing to do that. So George Floyd did not deserve to die. Mr. Brooks, not so much. Mr. Brooks got what was coming, because the man stole a taser from a police officer, turned it against the police officer, and the police officer's backup had no other choice. Because why should they have to decide what happens next? Like, why are they responsible for going, okay, let me really think here. What could he possibly do next? Okay, just tased my partner. Okay, is he going for the gun?
He might be
going.
He might give up.
Yeah, he might be going for the baton. Hold on,
guys. I was just
going
to be like, you know what, guys? Changed my mind. Take me to jail.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
It's an amazing time to watch this all unfold. So all that to say... What happened in Atlanta, I think, totally justifiable. I saw no issue. I think it's a clean shoot.
Well, I think we need to talk about the fact that the officer that actually shot him was fired almost immediately.
Unreal.
And I believe the police chief has since resigned. So,
and the mayor, in that idiotic statement, says, there's a difference. That's too manly. There's a difference between what you can do and what you should do.
Yeah. Well, so again, here we are taking Monday morning quarterback advice from someone who probably has never even done a ride along. So, I'm not a police officer. I've never been in one of those types of situations. So, I don't think I'm one of those kind of people that can go, maybe you should, maybe you shouldn't.
Right.
I don't see any difference in someone who's a mayor who thinks, well, just because I got voted in and I have some power in the city, thinks they can basically spew the same idea. To me, that's a joke. The thing that I think is interesting, though, is, like I said, he was fired with basically no investigation.
Right.
And I don't see how that's even possible.
And now they're resigning, right?
Yeah. And honestly, across the country, you're seeing a lot of cops resign for similar situations. We talked about last week, I think, the guy that got pushed over. The old timer Antifa guy who was actually found to be using some kind of device that scrambles the communications.
Yeah, that's what the president said for sure. Yeah.
So apparently that whole entire force has resigned. You're seeing that now in Atlanta. Why would they subject themselves to this? They're gonna be second guessed about every single thing they do. They're gonna be fired from the job that they've chosen. I don't see any point. I don't see any point in why they would stick around.
You're exactly right. What you heard maybe there in the background, Brett Baer pulling it up on Fox News right now. Multiple Atlanta police officers resigning because the department confirming to Fox News that the president and CEO of the Atlanta Police Foundation says morale is at an all-time low. No kidding. Atlanta police said 8 officers have resigned, a higher rate than usual. The department had seen 2 to 6 monthly resignations in 2020, but now they're up to 8 this month alone. Earlier Monday, the Atlanta Police Foundation had reported 19 resignations in the past week. 19 in a week. The group later took back the claim, affirming there's only been 8. There's only been 8. Is Atlanta where they tased the dude and they fired those guys as well? During the George Floyd protests, wasn't that in Atlanta? Yes. They drove in?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't blame them. They should all quit. They should all take a shift and then quit and then tell the city, do it.
Figure it out.
Yeah, go figure it out. You want hey, Miss Mayor, you want to be an idiot? Get in a car and go be an idiot. Because here's the thing. It's all, like you said, it's all so different when you're not behind a desk and you're actually out there having to do it. It's so much different. We cannot continue to second guess these people who make 10 million arrests in a year. 10 million arrests. And by the way, Brooks, Rayshard Brooks, not unarmed. All right? Some people are calling him unarmed. He wasn't unarmed. He had a taser. He had a taser. And here's what I'll tell you. If you're willing to let me tase you with a taser and then not be mad about it, then I got no problem with you. All right? You can act like he was unarmed. But you're not going to let that happen because it hurts. It's bad stuff. I've seen people get tased in real life in first person. It's not pretty. So, not unarmed.
And
he was armed and violent.
By the way, it is a quote unquote less lethal method.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But less lethal does not mean that it's not lethal.
Still incapacitates you.
But it could potentially be lethal, is my point.
I got you.
And I think that's why this guy, this cop, is gonna go he's gonna hire a lawyer. And he's going to sue them for everything they're worth for firing him unjustly.
I hope so.
And then he's going to, and when they try to rebut that, he's going to say, well, I mean, the guy fired a taser at me. It's less lethal. It's not non-lethal.
Right.
And there's his argument.
But the cop that shot him, I don't think is the cop that got hit with the taser.
And it may not be. It may not be.
So he hits one cop with the taser and I'm telling you, my view of the video, you go tell me if I'm wrong, you can see it at facebook.com/feltrecoilshow. My view of the video is that he hits the cop. It's very quick, but he hits the cop with the taser. Mm-hmm. And then the backup officer opens fire at that point. Because now you have an officer under attack. You have a madman with a taser attacking police officers. There's probably 6 to 8 feet between the two cops when it happens. And so Brooks could go for the gun of the officer he just tased, and now you're in a real, you know, problem. And I don't think cops have an obligation to slow down and think, well, what else are you going to do? I think you've proven the point. You're there for a fight. Look, honestly, it's cliche, but it's cliche for a reason. You mess with the bull, you get the horns. And that's what happened here. And I don't want to belittle it. Look, it's a man's life, 27 years old. He chose to die this way. He chose it. He made a decision. He knew if you fight with police officers, this could happen. He knew that. Okay? You can call it a measured risk or whatever you want. He knew it was coming. This is the way he chose to die. Terrible that he did that, but he did it. No one did it for him. He did it. Did we cover it all?
We always do.
I think we did. Okay, Felt Recoil Show is your place for raw opinion, unfiltered reviews, and the latest news. New episodes every Tuesday. We're so glad you're here. We really are. Please tell a friend, only because we're very egotistical and we like to watch the numbers tick up on the podcast.
We're up to four now.
Yes.
Four downloads.
Probably because my little cousin Chanel graduated high school this week and I went to her graduation party and made friends. They're probably all listening. What up, y'all? That's what the kids say. I'm going to tell you something, man. Before we get out of here, you want to feel really old, go attend a graduation party. We are the old people. We're so old, I'm having to decide if I go back to my chiropractor this week. Is your neck supposed to hurt for an entire week after the chiropractor visit?
If you're old.
That's not a joke, man. That kid popped me. It's weird when your doctors are younger than you. Are chiropractors actually doctors?
There's something. You call them doctor, but I don't know if they're really doctors.
I've been having, can I take a minute? Are you in a hurry?
I got all the time in the world, buddy.
All right. I've been having these back issues where everything hurts on my back.
Wait.
Yeah.
Can you draw me a diagram?
And I knew it was basically because I'm fat, but I went to a doctor anyway for it. I said, hey, what do you think is happening back there?
And he was like, you're fat. Problem solved.
I was like, is there a cure?
I'm going to write you a prescription for skinny.
Is there a cure for this? And he takes out a pad and he like draws a stick figure walking. I was like, what is that? He goes, go walk. And then he made me like pick a piece of food up, right? Like he put a piece of food in front of me and he said, put this in your mouth. And as soon as I did, I got started and he slapped it out of my hand. I was like, what? And he's like, cured. No, so seriously, I have these back problems and my back hurts all the time. And it got to a point where I couldn't sleep. My back was hurting so bad I couldn't sleep. So I made an appointment with a chiropractor and I went in and he's literally like half my age, like this young dude. I'm 39. If he's older than 25, I'd be really surprised. But super nice, super knowledgeable. But he cracked my neck, right? And he asked me, you got a problem with manual adjustments? And I was like, no, I guess not. I mean, I got to trust you. You're the professional. And he's like, okay. Right. And I lay down on the thing there and he's like feeling around like they do. And then he's like, okay, I want you to look left. And I look left and it doesn't hurt me to look left at that time. He's like, look right. And I look right. It doesn't hurt me to look right at that time. And then he goes, okay, look left again. As I looked left again, he grabbed my neck and twisted it, and something popped everywhere. And he goes, look right again. I look right, and he popped it again. I felt like $1 million, man. I felt like $1 million. And he starts telling me that there's like this issue with some muscles I've never heard of. And then he had already done a back adjustment, right? Like we did a back adjustment. And then he did the neck. So the neck was the last thing we did. And I go out, and the girl is like, your employer doesn't offer chiropractic services with your insurance here. So I pay $65, which wasn't terrible because I felt great. And I walk down, and I'm feeling amazing. And I go to work, and I feel amazing. And I go home, and I feel great. And then I go to bed that night, and I sleep wonderfully. And I get up the next day, and I cannot move. Like, literally couldn't move out of the bed. It hurt so bad. so bad. And it still hurts today. It's been, this was on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 4 days? 4 days, and it still hurts for me to twist my neck in either direction. And I'm supposed to go back on Thursday for a second visit with the chiropractor.
You got two options here. You go back.
Firebomb it, or...
And you let him do it to you again. Because I think I've never been to a chiropractor, but I understand it, you got to go a couple times for it to really take effect.
Right.
Option two is you find a good surgeon,
right,
and you get that bacchiotomy.
I was talking to a friend who terrified me this week, and he says, his name's Derek, and I said, Derek, I was telling him I went to the chiropractor, blah, blah. And he said, buddy, I'm telling you. Because Derek worked on CNC machines a lot. So he was like hunched over a good bit, if that makes sense. And so he had an issue with his neck. And he said, I'm telling you, I went to a chiropractor one time. And because of the bad work they did, it made it worse for a long time. And he was like, I pray they didn't do that to you. I pray. And now I'm terrified. Like, what if they actually really did hurt me? Like, what if he made it worse, right?
Strong possibility.
Can I sue? So here's the deal.
I don't know. Did you sign something?
Well, okay. Yes, but you can't sign away your rights, right? And so if they hurt you, I think there's still grounds to sue.
Okay. I'll let you try.
I did. You do sign a big waiver, and... now I'm in that awkward position where I have to go in and say to him, you hurt me last time, right? Or you just cancel the appointment and don't do it. That's the conundrum. Not that anybody, what a high class problem to have, right?
Yeah.
Guys, do I go back to my chiropractor? I don't know, Chris, what's the hang up? Well, he hurt my neck.
Well, his office is in the middle of Chaz.
On that note, hey, you remember when you were little, did you ever call Chinese restaurants and say chop chop to them over the phone?
No.
You did?
No.
You didn't? Honest to God, you
no,
didn't?
All right. I didn't.
Here's why it's okay that I did, because my friend Demetrius...
Well, say I didn't do, you know, the crank phone call typical stuff. Everybody did that.
Oh, man.
That was back when people actually had house phones.
Man.
People actually talked on the phone. People would answer their house phone.
But
you got to think, we grew up pre-caller ID, though, right?
Yes, we did.
So you could get away with
Star
this
86.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Or, well, maybe not get away with it, but you could do it.
I used to call random numbers, and my dad would almost encourage it, right? Because...
I'm sure he appreciates that little nugget of information.
Because I
would... For the public,
I would get random people on the phone and just talk to them like I knew them. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't mean. It was just like, how long could I make a conversation go? It was not like there was never like an illicit attempt to deride anyone.
Chris's illustrious radio career began.
It actually, swear to you, it was. I swear to you, it was, because we would just call random numbers and I'd be like, hey, man, is Patrick there? And some lady would be like, who? I'd be like, Patrick. She'd be like, nah, Patrick don't live here. And I go, who's this? And she go, Jenny. And I'm like, oh, what's up, Jenny? And she'd be like, who is this? And I go, it's me, Chris. And she would just be like, I don't think we know each other. And I was like, psh, Patrick talks about you all the time. And I would just transition, man. I would transition. And people would just talk to you. It was
amazing. Antisocial day and age we live in now, that would never work.
It was amazing. It was amazing. So, yeah, and truthfully, it did translate to radio, because I remember early days in radio, we used to call places and do that, because they wouldn't get mad. Nobody's going to be mad that you just had fun with them, you know? So we used to call, like, car dealers and try and return cars because the gas wouldn't stay in. Like, man, I'm filled it with gas. It's been like a week. It's already all drained out. And they'd be like, nah, man, you got to, like, put gas in all the time. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, you know, that kind of common sense stuff. They had no issue with it. None whatsoever. Anyway, where was I going with that?
I don't know. That was back when the world
totally
didn't
off course.
That was back when the world didn't take itself so seriously. That was back when we weren't setting up autonomous zones.
You really could have fun back then. I don't remember how we got onto that, though, between the chiropractor. Patrick, what did you do? I did. So off course.
I apologize.
Yeah, anyway, don't worry about
it. Whatever it is that I may or may not have done.
I have to decide. But probably
didn't do.
Yeah, you didn't. I have to decide if I go back. It still hurts. I went mountain biking with my son this weekend, and I can barely move my neck to, like, make sure, you know, he's not dead behind me. Make sure he's keeping up. But anyway. All right. New episodes every Tuesday. I don't remember what we were talking about. It doesn't matter.
Not important.
I hope you will tell a friend, bring them with you next time. Spread the gospel, spread the love. We're glad you're here. Find us online at FeltRecoilShow.com. We have a blog going there. You can click blog at the top on the right-hand side. Read a couple of things we've posted. Otherwise, we will see you back here next week for more of the Felt Recoil Podcast.